Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And joining me is my co-host, Stephen Kerr, 65 plus years in sports journalism between the two of us. I saw in a comment, Stephen, by the way, before we get started, they call this the old guys. And so I'll take it. I'll take the old guys.
Well, when you keep saying 65 years, you know, I think people probably just assume that we're old. So, yeah. And there are plenty of days I feel old, but.
Yeah, it's not 65, by the way. We are not 65 years old. It's the combining the stuff. But this, yeah, that is a lot. It's a
lot.
Well,
I'm closer to it than you are. Let's put it that way.
Let's talk about later in the show. We're going to hit Astros spring training notes, but we begin with day two of Texans free agency. Go check out our day one thoughts on our channel if you missed it. But Stephen, do you think fans are any more thrilled about Caserio since we spoke yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, maybe so. At least as we're recording this now, you know, by tomorrow, the next day, it could change. But yeah, yesterday, I guess, was a little scary for a lot of people, Robert, because you saw name after name after name going off the board and signing with teams. None of them with the Texans. Well, I shouldn't say none of them. They did sign a few guys, some of their own and then some others. So, but I'm talking a lot of the big names that I think Texans fans were hoping that they would grab. But day two, well, I'd say it was quite a bit better, at least at the running back position.
Yeah, and let's get to that. Two major moves since we last spoke, the additions of linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair. I'll probably screw that name up, but we'll get it right by the time he's regularly playing for the Texans. And of course, running back Joe Mixon. Let's start with Azeez. He's perhaps my favorite signing, and D'Amico likely handpicked him because they were together with the Niners a couple of years ago. We talked about him when we talked about the linebackers that the Texans might pick up in free agency. Last year was his first year as a full-time starter after the Titans signed him. He had 108 solo tackles, 9 tackles for loss. He's excellent against the run, solid overall. Steven, it's a 3-year, $34 million deal, more expensive than Blake Cashman, but D'Amico knows more than anybody if he's worth more than Blake Cashman.
Yeah, if anybody would know, it'd be D'Amico. And I'm going to trust his instincts on this one, that maybe the Texans got an upgrade. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Robert, Azeez was on our top five list of linebackers, was he not? I know talked about him. Yeah, we did talk about him. So that's one off our list that the Texans got. And, you know, I know there were some other Niners like Eric Armstead, that we thought might come to the Texans because he played for D'Amico. But at least D'Amico got one of his guys. So, yeah, I'm going to trust his instincts on Azeez.
Azeez had 2 sacks last year, 7 quarterback pressures, a 97.4 passer rating allowed when he was targeted. I don't know about that. It's okay. Pro Football Focus grade of 76.5 against the run and a 61.3 pass coverage grade. So, you know, you've got some good stuff to work with there, Stephen. And really, this is about somebody that D'Amico knows is going to fit his system. And I'm sure he's really excited to see him again.
Oh, I'm absolutely. Yeah, it's certainly true. And I think, you know, again, the first day you saw a lot of these names, but I think as we talked about, all these big splashes, they're not going to pan out. They're going to get injured or they're going to be ineffective. It's the guys that are quote unquote under the radar, at least to fans, certainly not to coaches or general managers, but to fans that, you know, they could very well come through for the Texans just like they did this past year.
It's kind of interesting, Stephen, that we're rating the Titans Oilers covered, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was thinking that as soon as I saw that they signed him, and then of course they got another Titan, I'm thinking, oh, we're rating that their cupboard's going to be pretty bare if we keep touching it.
That's the two best signings, really, is Autry and Azeez so far.
Absolutely.
My thought anyway. Well, let's move to the Joe Mixon trade because I'm going to let everybody else decide on that one. The Texans gave up a meaningless conditional 7th round pick, so not much. The Bengals had signed Zach Moss, which opened up that trade. Mixon's in his last year of his contract, $2.2 million base salary, according to Spotrac. So very cheap. Last year, 1,034 yards rushing, 376 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns. Steven, he's got 7 years of wear and tear, so let's keep that in mind, but he's one of only 3 NFL players with at least 1,200 yards from scrimmage in the last 5 seasons. The other two guys, Alvin Kamara and Tyreek Hill.
Here's the thing, Rob. I mean, it's a low-risk deal. You think about it. And I also think it was a rather shrewd move for Nick Caserio to pull this off. If you think about the first day, what were there, like 9 running backs that came off the board and signed with other teams, none with the Texans. I mean, if he had waited until the Bengals released him, he could very well have signed with another team and the Texans would still be without a running back. Well, at least for this coming season, we know who the running back's going to be because he secured the trade. And as you said, a meaningless conditional pick. So it's not like he gave up a lot for him. And you've got your feature back that hopefully will still have 1 or 2 more years left in him that he can give the Texans at least this coming year. So I would say, you know, all in all, it's a pretty good deal.
All right. Well, here's my one thing that I'm not a fan of with this deal. I don't like rooting for bad dudes on my sports team. That's me. That's my personal thing.
Well, you do have a point there. Yeah.
It's worth a mention. He was caught on tape punching a woman in the face 10 years ago, broke two bones or four bones in her face, I should say. That was in college. He's also allegedly pulled a gun on a woman just last year. Didn't seem to be enough evidence, so he didn't get convicted. But it's not a good look after what happened in his past. The Texans, with a lot of running backs to choose from this offseason, they could have gone a number of different directions. He's a good value, but Steven, the Texans, you know, they've got good guys in their locker room, great chemistry. We talk about C.J. Stroud and what he says about this team's chemistry. It's just something I don't like. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, you are right. And if you're talking about from a personal standpoint, I think it's a little interesting that the Texans would take a chance on him, considering everything you just said, and considering the fact that, you know, they have a lot of good guys on the team. I mean, you don't hear a lot of that stuff from this team last year. So to get a guy like Joe Mixon in there that has had a checkered past, you could look at it as maybe being in a good locker room will be good for him. I mean, that's what you're hoping, of course, if you're a Texans fan.
Yeah, he's got such a long history of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than one incident that we're talking. We're not talking about, you know, the thing 10 years ago. If that had been the only one, I would have said, well, he was in college. I mean, we'll give him a break there, I guess. But yeah, he's had more recent incidents. So that would be the only thing you worry about is if he does something like that again, he could get suspended. And then he'd be of no use to the Texans at that point.
Yeah, it's just with me, it's not. I'm not worried about the expense. It's a one-year contract. I'm not worried about, so, you know, he's been in the league for a while, hasn't been suspended for anything else. And also, I just can't imagine Bob McNair would sign off on a guy like this either.
No, I certainly couldn't. I mean, I definitely couldn't with Bob McNair, no. He just refused. He would always back away from that sort of thing.
I know there's a lot of people out there, and I hear from them all the time. I threw something about his history and said I wasn't thrilled about it up on X, and there was a guy that's like, well, who cares? You know, there's a lot of people out there who cares. Look, I've been in locker rooms. I have to speak to these people or have had to over the years, you know, so to me, they're real people and you're rooting for human beings as much as you're rooting for uniforms. I mean, I'm not a Seinfeld guy to where like whoever's wearing the uniform, I think they're the best thing ever. And let's remember this, Steven, a lot of people were not too excited about Roberto Osuna coming to the Astros.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you were talking about that. That's the first name that came to my mind.
And that thing blew up, man. It blew up on the Astros, and it was bad karma, I thought, too.
Yeah, well, that's the last thing the Texans need is bad karma. I guess, you know, and as fans, I think we all tend to forget that these guys are not just superhuman machines. You know, they are human beings, and they do screw up. They do make mistakes. And yet those mistakes, you know, have the same consequences as if anybody else makes them. So, yeah, we'll have to keep our eye on this, Robert. I mean, as far as the deal itself was concerned, that's why I thought it was a low risk deal. So it's not like you gave up a first or second or both or even a middle round choice. But yeah, it's the personal angle that you're going to have to worry about.
It's also worth noting that by trading for Mixon rather than signing him after being cut, the Texans put themselves in position to receive a comp pick for him after next year. It depends on some other circumstances, too, but it's worth mentioning. Derrick Henry signed with the Ravens for a deal that could total $20 million over two seasons.
Yeah.
The Texans were supposedly in that conversation along with the Saquon Barkley talks. By the way, were you surprised, Stephen, about Devin Singletary leaving for a two-year, $10 million deal? Texans couldn't get that thing done?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, I thought that they could at least, you know, meet him somewhere in that ballpark. And I mean, as quickly as it happened, Robert, I kind of thought that the Texans would still have an eye on trying to keep him there. And along with Cashman, I mean, I was a little bit surprised with that one too.
All right, let's see what you guys think of Texans free agency. Get in the comments. Make sure you're getting notifications when we put up our latest show, when we put it out there. And Steven, I mentioned a couple of Texan signings already. I'm going to have a couple more, but fans will forgive the lack of splash if Caserio signs Vikings edge rusher Danielle Hunter. That is actually being discussed as you and I speak. We're recording this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. The Morton Ranch grad, coming off 16 and a half sacks this past season, has 87.5 career sacks, four Pro Bowls in six seasons, 29 years old.
Man, that would be something, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, D'Amico Ryan's talking about he wants to really make a solid front. Well, some of these guys that he's been signing, and if he signs him, boy, I'd say you definitely got an upgrade there. And so I had a feeling that they had to have had a plan B if Grenard was going to walk, which he, of course, did. And I don't think there was any panic mode in the Texans camp like there was with the fans, perhaps. So, yeah, that would certainly be a big upgrade for the Texans defensive line.
Yeah, if you put him next to Autry,
oh yeah,
but that's, you know, that's a big deal. Also, Eric Armstead, we keep talking about him because he's still somebody that's out there.
Yeah,
hasn't signed.
Another D'Amico guy in Frisco.
Yep. So that's still absolutely a potential deal. The Texans also re-signed wide receiver Noah Brown, 1 year, $5 million. I suspect they might sign another low-priced veteran wide receiver, Steven, but Noah was a solid backup when he was healthy. Appeared to excel when Stroud was in scramble mode. That's one of the things that's kind of underrated, their chemistry when Stroud would have to, like, you know, figure something out and Noah would have to reroute.
Yeah, and a lot of the big catches that, you know, that Noah Brown made were in that very position, Robert. So, and I'm glad the Texans brought him back. I mean, I would like him to stay healthier a little bit longer, you know, because when he's in there, especially as the season went along, he made some big plays and he looked good out there. You just got to keep him healthy.
Yeah, word is he's doing fine and he's recovering. He should be good to go to start training camp. The Texans also signed Ravens backup linebacker Delshon Phillips to a one-year deal, an undrafted free agent in 2019. Bounced around a bit. You hope the Ravens tutelage the last couple of years means he's a diamond in the rough, because the Ravens absolutely do some wonderful work with their defense. The Texans also got Browns cornerback Mike Ford on a 2-year, $4.5 million deal. Also undrafted free agent coming out of college. This is his fifth team. So, you know, some journeymen, but, you know, backups and maybe guys that can help you out just a little bit as backups. But Steven, Texans still need a starting cornerback, I believe.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, you need those depth pieces, Robert. I mean, as much as the secondary had so many injury issues or ineffectiveness, but yeah, that's the one thing you really lack is a big starting cornerback. And the draft's got some, but if the Texans can't find it in free agency, then maybe that's what they need to use one of their first two picks on, is a good cornerback.
Yep, and as you and I are speaking, still no word on Steven Nelson, where he's looking at, if anybody's interested, if anybody's talking to him. So he's still available if you need him.
Yeah, and I would like to have Nelson back. I mean, I know that, you know, the offseason last year, a little bit tumultuous or contentious, I guess, in a way. But yeah, I'd certainly still like to see him in a Texans uniform. He was definitely effective for them this year.
Yesterday, we spoke about Cam Johnston's departure, which was a surprise. They replaced him with Chiefs punter Tommy Townsend. Johnston had a better net average last year than Townsend, did a better job of putting balls inside the 20-yard line. Townsend, though, was all pro the previous year. But Johnston's been better overall. And Steven, one thing we cannot factor in, because there's no way to put the number on this, but what is the difference between his numbers and Johnston's numbers when you compare to punting outdoors in Kansas City? And I've been up in Missouri and it's windy up there most of the time during the winters versus NRG Stadium punting.
Yeah, well, it at least should help him when, you know, certainly at home or in good weather situations on the road. Yeah, you still have a good replacement there, but I still wish Cam Johnston had still been there. But again, I think the Texans had some things that they were working on, and we'll just see how Tommy Townsend. I went to school with a Thomas Townsend, but I don't think it's that guy.
Yeah, we had a commenter on our YouTube page yesterday that said, what's the big deal about it? It's just a punter. Why are you guys making a big deal about it?
And we talked about it plenty of times.
Well, I mean, it was a big deal when they didn't have Johnston a few weeks this year. But the other thing is, on his next sentence, he said, yeah, but he punted great in the Super Bowl and he's on a Super Bowl winning team. Well, you can't say it doesn't matter and then say, well, he was on a Super Bowl winning team. By the way, I don't think he had a whole lot. Patrick Mahomes might have had a little bit more to do with the Super Bowl thing.
Well, I don't think they punted very much in the Super Bowl, as I recall. They scored way too much, especially later on. Look, for those who don't think a punter is valuable, watch a full game or watch several games. Tell me if there's a difference in field position. When you flip field position, when you have a really good punter like a Cam Johnston or a Tommy Townsend, that's where it makes the difference. It's not just about the average number of yards, you know, 45.8 or 50 yards a punt. It's when you nail it inside the 10, the 5, the 1, when the other team's field position is totally flipped, you got to go 99 yards down the field. That's huge. And more often than not, it's a benefit for a team, especially the Texans. So, yeah, the punter is very important. Yeah, he may not get in the game as often as the quarterback or the defensive lineman, but just like the place kicker, when he's in there, when it's time for him to shine, he's a very important element of the team.
Also, of the guys that we mentioned, and I forgot to bring this up earlier, we talked about Patrick Queen, Steven, as a potential Texans target.
Yeah.
They looked at him. They actually made an offer, but it wasn't enough for Patrick Queen. So that's
I didn't think it would be. And we talked about, I think we even said, I'd have to go back and listen, but I mean, in my mind, you know, it was kind of like the Mike Evans thing, man, it'd be great to have him, but I don't think the Texans could afford him.
Yeah. I don't know if there was anybody else out there that I heard much rumors about the Texans being interested in besides the names that we've mentioned so far. But when you look at the big picture at this point, as you and I speak Tuesday afternoon, you know, I still think they need a starting cornerback. The guys that they brought in are, you know, I would not want any of those guys starting opposite Stingley. If you look at the linebacking core, I think you just have to have the two main guys, but they still need to add some depth pieces. I mean, they still right. have got Toa Toa as a depth piece, and I don't know, Jake Hansen or whatever, but that does not thrill me either. None mm-hmm. of those guys thrill me. So they could use, they definitely could use some depth. They definitely could use a good third linebacker, but I'm not concerned about that. Those guys are still out. There's still some pretty good names that we had mentioned among potential targets for him that they could bring in as linebackers. And then defensive line, you know, that's the big thing. You know, what's going to happen there? Armstead, Danielle Hunter, if those additions are made, it's a big deal. If not, you might be exactly where you were last year. It's close. I mean, Grenard versus Autry. Autry was much better at applying pressure, more consistent over the last few years than Jonathan Grenard. Although the age, you know, we talked about a little bit. I mean, Grenard's in his prime and he's in his early 20s, even though he's got the injury history. Autry, you know, it's 33 years old. So we'll see.
That's definitely where they've made the most noise is on the defensive line. And they also locked in their tight end, or at least their starting tight end with Dalton Schultz. That's a big deal too. You're going to have to need to find some better depth there or hope some of the guys, there were a couple of guys that I think were injured last year, but you don't know what you have there, but at least you got your starting tight end nailed down. So a number of those areas, Robert, that we talked about are at least being addressed. And now as the free agency period wears on, again, you may see some bargain basement guys that could step in and make a difference. I don't think there'll be very many, but you know, one or two usually come to the forefront. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, we'll try to come back if there's like major splashes here in the next couple of days. But Steven, Astros spring training, the dog days are kind of here with that. Any major notes that you've noticed in the last week?
Well, the biggest thing is, and we talked about this, not the last pod, but a couple of them before that, the Framber Valdez calling pitches thing apparently is no more. You know, Framber's first spring training start didn't go very well. He tried calling his own pitches. And I think after a discussion with Joe Espada and the pitching coaches, it was decided that it was better that he scrap that, at least for the time being. And Robert, that's definitely the best thing he could do. As I've said before, I just don't think Framber needs that kind of, I don't know, distraction, pressure, whatever you want to call it. And especially with runners on base, you'll have less time with the pitch clock, which I guess was his whole, I guess that was part of his thinking anyway, is it would save him some time. But the main thing is you got to have your head in the game. You got to trust your catcher. So at least at this moment, it seems to be a deal that's off the table. And his second spring training start the other day went much better, and he was not calling pitches. So maybe the pitching coaches and Joe Espada talked him out of it.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he didn't have too many issues. I still saw a couple of balls that were line drives that I thought, yeah, sinker, he's still working. I think it's still a work in progress. He's got to figure out how to get that back to where it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, if he could just get that back. I mean, that really was basically his calling card as far as ground ball pitches. And it just seems to have tapered off a little bit here, you know, one year, a little bit the next. So yeah, if he could get that back, I think he'd be back to the Framber that everybody's hoping he would be.
Yeah, it's hard to give up home runs, though, in spring training on some of these days where that win is just crazy. I mean, there are lots of balls that I've seen so far that are home runs at Minute Maid for sure that, you know, the win just knocks it down.
Well, that's very true. That's a good point there. So, you know, as it goes further in, we'll just have to see. But this is going to be a big year for Framber as well as Christian Javier. So I'm just glad the calling pitches thing is out of the mix. At least it seems to be.
Steven, I hear that Roger Clemens and Roy Oswalt are back pitching at Minute Maid Park. Do I need to get tickets for the Astros for this?
Well, you missed it, Robert. You missed it. If you didn't get tickets last weekend, you missed it. You blinked and they're gone. Yeah, they did pitch at Minute Maid Park last weekend. They were guest pitchers for the Savannah Bananas. And if you're not familiar with the Savannah Bananas, I've actually done a couple of stories on them over the past few years. They're an exhibition baseball team. They were a professional minor league team. They were in the Frontier League. But they are now totally an exhibition team. And I guess you could call it like a carnival act or a circus act.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, they're like the Harlem Globetrotters. And their opponent is called the Party Animals. That's who they play. Well, they had an exhibition game last weekend at Minute Maid Park. It was the first time that the Bananas have been to a major league ballpark. Roger Clemens and Roy Oswalt were guest pitchers. Now, before you get all excited and thinking, you know, maybe the Astros could call them back, Clemens is 61 years old, Robert. Can you believe that? I mean, all this time, Roger is 61 years old. He came in, he pitched a third of an inning, coming to the mound in the top of the second and giving up a two-run single to his first batter, then a two-run homer to another. He did get out of the inning on a grounder, which he fielded and underhanded to first base, but not a great outing there for Clemens. And Oswalt, meanwhile, he pitched a third of an inning, came in the sixth, and he only gave up one run on three hits. He did strike out his final batter to end the inning. But hey, you know, at least for Roger Clemens, he hasn't pitched in Minute Maid Park since 2006. And Roy Oswalt, you know, he's with the Astros until, what, 2010, I believe?
Did they drive Oswalt out to the mound on his tractor that Drayton got him?
Drayton got him? I wonder if he still has that thing.
Oh, I think he does. I heard he does.
Yeah, that would be totally banana-esque if they did that. I mean, they'd have some of the wackiest things that they do during their games. And they have a lot of the rules are different. Like if you're a fan in the stands and you catch a foul ball, it's an out. So, you know, a fan can actually contribute to an out on the field. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking about is you said Roger Clemens is 61.
And, 61.
And yeah, that makes me feel, but you know what made me feel like I needed to be just put in the grave is Nolan Ryan, a couple of months ago, turned 77 years old.
Yeah, I know. That definitely would make me, you know, I wasn't around when Nolan pitched for the Mets in the 69 Miracle Mets, but I was around in the 70s when he was pitching for the Anaheim Angels and then, of course, with the Astros and the Rangers. So 77, man, we're all getting old, Robert. We were talking about that at the top of the podcast. Well, that just proves it right there.
The other thing that happened this weekend that was really fun, I mean, what an event this was. And by the way, that Minute Maid was packed for that Savannah.
Yeah, it was. 40,000 people were there.
The other place that was packed and going crazy, though, the Fertitta Center was a madhouse with the Cougars going for the Big 12 championship. They actually clinched it, as you probably already know, before the game. But
they clinched a share of it anyway.
Yeah, they clinched a share. But it wasn't just that they beat Kansas. They beat them by 30. It was a domination. I mean, it was one of the worst Kansas losses in years. And the other part about that was, you know, they get revenge, of course, from that game earlier this year. But it's sort of like a message sender to everybody out there. The Cougs are ready for the tournament. They're ready to go. And it was just it was so special just because Jim Nantz was honored at halftime. He's at the game. Tank Dell was there, of course, Hakeem. All those U of H celebs were in-house too.
Yeah, that was special, Robert. And, you know, I know when the Big 12, when they first joined the Big 12, everybody's saying, oh, you know, the AAC is soft. The Cougars ran through everybody. But they're playing with the big boys now. Well, they are one of the big boys. And I know I'm dating myself here, but I can't help but think how similar this is to them winning the Big 12 in their first year in basketball to when their football team joined the Southwest Conference in 1976. In their first year, they rolled through the Southwest Conference and won the conference and beat Maryland in the Cotton Bowl. And what I remember most about that year, Robert, is they went up to Memorial Stadium in Austin and did the same thing to the University of Texas Longhorn football team that the Cougar basketball team did this year to Kansas. They beat the Longhorns 30-0. Yes, you heard me right. 30-0. And what did they beat Kansas? What was it, 76-46?
Yeah, 30
points.
30 points.
How about that?
Yeah, and I mean, you got to – let's go over this. First year in the Big 12, they win – the entire Big 12. They are 28-3 overall. They finished the regular season number one in the nation. Yes, they can play with the big boys. They get that revenge on KU we talked about. Congrats to Shedd and Roberts, two of the best careers in UH history. Congratulations to Tillman Fertitta and Kelvin Sampson for taking a program from irrelevant back to its blue blood roots and building, and I don't even think this is a debate, Stephen, building the best home court in the nation.
Well, certainly. And, you know, you saw it Saturday. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the game. I, you know, saw bits of it later. I was covering a hockey game, so I missed it. And I looked back. I had to look at it twice, Robert, to make sure I was not dreaming or misreading that 76-46 thing. But, you know, that's something that really needs to happen is getting Cougar basketball, getting people really excited about it. And yes, they were going crazy. That place was rocking. What were there, 77,000 plus fans in there, I think. Yeah, that is just so good to see. And I know, you know, the conference tournament, it's coming up, and the NCAA tournament is always full of twists and turns and surprises. And you hope that the Cougars can get through that, especially with the major injuries they've had to deal with, that it doesn't catch up to them. But right now, you got to savor this and celebrate it, because look, it's their first year in the Big 12. Yes, they can play with the big boys. Now they've got to bear down. And I'm not so much worried about the conference tournament. Yeah, they might get knocked off their number one in the country pedestal, but I don't really care about that so much, so long as they can get to the tournament and then win the national championship.
Unless something really weird happens early in the conference tournament, I expect them to be the number one of the number one seeds. They're going to be 1-1. And also, you know, I mentioned Shedd, Big 12 Player of the Year, Jamal Shedd, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Jamal Shedd. Just what an incredible season for that guy. And, you know, you hope that maybe he can find his way on an NBA team because he's a leader. I worry about, you know, is he big enough? But, man, as a defensive player, as a leader, he's everything that you'd want at a point guard. He's not a bad passer either.
Well, I know you remember when Jamal Shedd first came. Just look at how much he has grown since then. Kelvin Sampson has even said it on more than one occasion that, you know, he's just lauded Shedd for the way he has developed and turned into the player that he has. And that's just another testament to Kelvin Sampson and the kind of, not just the kind of team that he can build, but the kind of individual player that he can mold and shape into the type of player he should be. And that's Jamal Shedd right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with the name, Stephen, but it's really been a rich point guard tradition since Kelvin came. Dickey Giroux, Galen Robinson. Who else am I forgetting in that group? They've had some really good point guards.
Yeah, those are the two main ones that I can think of. And, you know, there's a few other players floating around in the NBA. You know, Quentin Grimes, of course, in the NBA, and there have some others that have had some cups of coffee with them. But, you can't say enough about what Kelvin Sampson has done with this team, not just this year, but through the whole time he's been there.
Yeah, Sasser and Quentin Grimes.
Sasser, of course, yeah.
Teammates with the Pistons right now. So.
Right.
So, yeah, we're gonna keep the coverage up and ramp it up a little bit, I think, here when the Cougs hit the tournament. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to do some of that. But once again, I'm going to remind everybody, we want to hear from you. Also, if you're a Rockets fan, make sure you check out. I talked to Frank with Rockets Chop Shop on Monday. I came out with two shows Monday. We had the one with me and Steven and then the one with Frank. So make sure you got both of those in your feed and go look for them. If you didn't, because we talked about the Alperen Şengün, the good news, thankfully,
yeah,
for him.
For sure. Yeah, you got something that all the fan bases are covered.
Yeah, Şengün is going to be fine for next year. I would doubt that we're going to see him this year. I wouldn't want to play him. Make sure that ankle is solid. Yeah. Those ankles can start being – ask Steph Curry if you don't know about
him. Well, that's right. He's the big name to look toward now and may have come back a little too soon before when he had that issue too. And as far as the Rockets, you know, if they were fighting for a major playoff spot, maybe you'd think about it, but they're not. So it would be wise to just hold him out, let him heal completely. You get him back next year. Hopefully you get Tari Eason back next year. Steven Adams hopefully will get healthy next year. So you hate to say wait till next year, but at least in the Rockets' case, you've got more hope for that, especially as the season is winding down.
Steven, if you like defense, next year's Rockets, if they can go into the season healthy with Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Steven Adams, Jabari Smith, Cam Whitmore has actually picked up his defense according to the analytics too.
Yep.
I mean, this could be a fun team because this is the type of defense that not just, you know, stops the other team, but they're going to get steals. They're going to get out on the fast break. It's going to be a jailbreak over there.
And we don't even know who they would get as free agents, trades in the draft. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities and positive ones to look forward to next year.
All right, man. Let's look forward to some more signings. Hopefully we got like more blockbusters for you guys tomorrow, the next day. So keep in touch and get in those notifications. Make sure that you know when our next show comes out, whether you're listening via audio or you're watching us on YouTube. Remember, we've got both of those avenues, and you know, I would like to continue that, but that's something I'm debating now too, as far as the audio. So if you're an audio fan of the show, let me know somehow. Get in the messages, and I want to hear from you guys because I know the video. I'm getting way more traction on the video stuff. So
yeah.
We want to hear from you on that as well. Thanks a bunch, Steve. We'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds good, Robert.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.